It's a fan pregame. It's a baby Friday. All eyes on the Leafs and the Bruins. Game six tonight, do or die for Toronto. You already know that. 2 hour extravaganza for the fan pregame tonight. I'm fired up. Lots of time to dissect every single angle of this game, the potential offseason. What happens if they make a comeback? Whew, we're going to kick all those things off with Mr. Chris Cuthbert, Dad.
Mere appetizer, though, he'll be for Sid Sixero in 30 minutes. The breakfast television host will come on to answer many questions, including what happens if the Leafs win.
We'll have lots of fun regardless if they win or lose. It's going to be a good night tonight. We're going to send it to Scotiabank Arena around 7 o'clock to the guys that are in our seats tonight.
Eating our pizza.
The fan morning show with Ben Ennis and Brent Gunning are going to help us set the stage for the stakes ahead.
And yeah, we'll find some time to look around at the other NHL series. Only three still ongoing. Canucks holding a 3-2 lead. Dallas storming back, winning three in a row, leading Vegas 3-2. We'll catch up on our little bet, too, with our series prices or our series predictions. We'll see if there's any movement in the scoreboard there.
All right. I cherry-picked this from Luke Fox's latest article at sportsnet.ca. The Bruins, 0-5 in their past five opportunities to advance in the playoffs. The Maple Leafs, 0-6 in their past six home playoff games. What gives first tonight? It's like the Battle of the Demons. Which demon's going to come out on top? Well, one of them will be defeated tonight. Is it the Bruins that are going to find a way to advance in this series and to stop the slide and stop the thoughts that might be, you know, starting to accumulate in Boston, or are the Leafs going to continue to lose at home and upset their fans? It's a lot on the line.
Yeah, it's clearly unstoppable force versus a movable object between these two suddenly tonight in game six. And I do think many developments, of course, in the series. I mean, too many really to count. Austin Matthews being probably chief among them and everything that's going on with his injury or illness or whatever it may be. But I think one of the more encouraging developments, if you're a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs, is that, hey, the Boston Bruins might actually have demons just like Leaf fans and just like the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, too many to count, again, for the Maple Leafs when it comes to demons. But with Boston, it's starting to rear its ugly head a little bit as well. You mentioned the last five times they had an opportunity to advance, and they failed in those times. And yeah, that's starting to seep into the discourse, the conversation around the Bruins, certainly the fan base. Like, I don't wade into Bruins Twitter waters very often.
Well, I have a lot of Bruins fans.
But I was just like, you know, just looking at a couple of videos of the Bruins talking, and everything is ultra negative. Everything is like it is with the Maple Leafs when the Maple Leafs aren't winning. So maybe the same rules apply. Maybe the same demons apply to this Bruins team. It's just that we don't talk about it as much, especially in Toronto, because I guess there's their own demons to deal with.
Yeah, it's funny, but I went to school just outside of Boston for my undergrad, and all of my friends that are from Mass are big Bruins fans, and a lot of them still live in Boston, and all of them are, I've never seen them act this way before, because everything's been great to be a Boston sports fan for the last, you know, 10 years. But now with last year's trauma and their demons of losing that series while being up 3-1, a lot of them already think this series is over. I mean, I think Leaf fans felt that way a few times, but how crazy can the shift of momentum be if the Leafs, first of all, win at home, which is a miraculous feat in its own, but to tie this game up to go down to TD Garden, where you have all of the momentum now, you've now just won a couple in a row, and the Bruins are staring down a massive collapse in back-to-back postseasons. I think that there's something to be said about momentum, whether you believe in it or not. Even just thinking that the other team might just have none is something that the Leafs could use in their favor. The series price right now is like plus 330 for the Leafs. And if you think they're going to win tonight, you might as well hit that one, and we'll get into our best bets later. But because that's what I think this could mean is you win one, you win another one, and the world is your oyster, to speak of the East Coast Boston teams.
Yeah, I think a lot goes into this Bruins kind of line of thinking, psyche thing that's going on, because yeah, there's last year, but there's also this team. And I think they maybe feel a lot like a lot of people, a lot of hockey pundits, a lot of fans feel like this Boston team maybe isn't that good. And maybe they are vulnerable because, hey, they're not like they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when this culture was being cultivated anymore. Like, yeah, they still lean on the fact that they can make it really difficult for you to score. The Maple Leafs are experiencing that. The fact that they have Jeremy Swayman, the fact that they can play good defensive hockey, they have opportunistic goal scorers, they find a way to win, especially against the Toronto Maple Leafs. But if you do take all the context out of it, if you take all the demons out of it, like if you just strip it down to a team versus a team, and maybe it doesn't really apply as much with Austin Matthews out, but the Bruins aren't necessarily as good as the Maple Leafs. The Bruins aren't necessarily even in the same league as the Florida Panthers. Maybe they do have their own issues and they're trying to paper over them as much as possible. And the fact that they've got the Leafs when it's not been ideal circumstances has been a benefit to them. But maybe in the back of the mind, they know that they're not the same team that they were, at least with Patrice Bergeron, you know, playing the top line center position and everything falling in behind after that. Maybe some of that is playing into that psyche.
All right. This is a 7 p.m. puck drop on Sportsnet, which is a rare treat for us because we get
8 p.m.
Yeah, sorry, I meant to say 8. But an 8 p.m. puck drop means it's a rare treat that we get Mr. Chris Cuthbert before a game. Papa Chris Cuthbert, how's it going? Thanks for coming on.
Good to be with you. I know Justin will try and keep it short after that introduction. But
he's already rolling his
I'll
eyes.
I'll just be quiet in the corner.
Yes. Jackie Redmond says hello. Nice to be with you, too.
It's just a party over there.
Yeah,
we're not jealous at all.
You guys are having lots of fun, aren't you?
It's a big game when the TNT folks come in. Mm-hmm. Sure. Ryan Boucher is here, Kenny Albert, and we're here to see if it's over or whether we're headed back to Boston.
All right, let's start with the news that maybe isn't as surprising as it was a couple days ago, but no Matthews again playing in another elimination game. I wonder for you what the scuttlebutt is around all the folks that kind of get the inside scoop, whether you've seen him out on the ice or not. Was it a surprise to you to have no Austin Matthews in a game 6, a must-win for Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, again, as you say, no surprise on one hand, mm-hmm. but this whole scenario is surprising. It's mysterious. I watched the 8 minutes he was on the ice and passed the puck on a little passing drill with Manny Malhotra and then tipped pucks from the point, and that was it in Boston. All reports is he skated harder today. But everybody's run the gambit of what it could be, what it might be, and unfortunately, we're not going to find out till all of this is over. I guess my surprise will be if we continue on to game 7 and he's not ready in 2 more days, considering he's been on the ice for 3 days, cause he was out there yesterday a little bit too. So it's very mysterious, as was William Nylander. I guess it's playoff time in Toronto.
Yeah, we watched part of his skate today just before we came on, and yeah, he looked capable in some ways, incapable in other ways. It's just another log of the fire in terms of frustration, I guess. There are realities, though, that they have to deal with, which is a game 6. There was also a reality in game 5, which they were able to get through. But as it pertains to, hey, this is what the Maple Leafs have to offer, missing Austin Matthews means missing, 69-plus goals and the ability to game break. But what did you see without him that may have been different? And what is still like a main hurdle to overcome without Austin Matthews tonight?
Well, it's been amazing this year that when the key players have gone down, we've seen sometimes the best of the Maple Leafs. The 7-0 win against Pittsburgh when Matthews missed a game. That run of great games when Morgan Rielly was out with a suspension. Maybe the best game they played this year was without John Tavares and Mitch Marner in that game against the St. Louis Blues that kind of kickstarted a winning streak. So it seems to be the formula that they really are able to lock things down when they're missing key guys offensively. And they're going to have to do that again tonight. They did it in Boston and squeezed out enough offense. You know, it's interesting that I think they've had for 4 of the first 5 games, they had more chances. That didn't happen in the last game. The high danger chances were almost 2-1 for Boston, but it was enough. The Leafs used what they had to have enough to win, and of course goaltending a big part of that. And I think Joseph Woll is is another reason for some optimism. I think this is the goaltender that the Leafs hope during all of the year that might emerge at this time of the year.
Yeah, let's go to Joseph Woll. It's an interesting position that they're in once again, where it's Samsonov until it's no longer Samsonov, and then it's Joseph Woll. And yeah, it's easy to rethink maybe because he played so well in game five. But if Woll was always the destination, is there an argument for it having been reached sooner?
Well, I actually think in hindsight, you look at it and maybe they rushed getting him to the destination, and that may have caused the issue to, I mean, he played both games against Boston in March when he might not have been ready. And it was a setback because he was not sharp. And it looked like after that, they decided he's not ready. The ankle has been a major problem. He may not recover. And so we're going to have to put our eggs back in the Samsonov basket. And even late in the year, there was one last chance maybe to make an impression, and he didn't in Florida. I don't think he played poorly, but he didn't give the Leafs a reason to have second thoughts about who they were going to go into the playoffs with. But I go back, if they'd split the games against Boston in March, or if they had decided then we're throwing him in the fire too quickly, let's wait another couple of weeks before we ramp him up, I wonder if the destination would have been met now.
Do you think the Maple Leafs play a little bit differently in front of Joseph Woll, or do you see like a level of comfort or belief in him, and maybe even just the idea that it isn't Samsonov for these must-win games and it's a different look? Does that inspire a different performance from the Maple Leafs when you look at how they play in front of their netminder, Joseph Woll?
Well, when he's playing like he did the other night, I think there's a trust factor, there's a comfort factor with that, and maybe there's a thought that we can win 2-1. We don't have to outscore, you know, the problems at the other end. So maybe it's easier to lock down when you trust your goaltender in front of you and don't have to be pushing constantly to outscore opponents. And again, without Matthews, without Marner, without Tavares at times, this year the Leafs have won a lot of tight games. The exception, and Sheldon Keefe mentioned it earlier today, was the Pittsburgh game, which was kind of a one-off where everything went in the net that night in a 7-0 win. But yeah, the formula seems to be when you're missing key guys is to play better defensively, and they've done that, and Joseph Woll's a big part of that. And, you know, Sheldon Keefe did mention to us prior to the last game that the Leafs' penalty kill all year was better with Joseph Woll. And goaltending, as we know, the old cliche, your best penalty killer's got to be your goaltender. And they were over 81% with Woll, and I think it was just under 74% without him. So there's another reason to like him in your net in a big game.
We're chatting with Chris Cuthbert, who'll be on the call for Game 6, Bruins and Maple Leafs. Okay, so you're one of the select few that's going back and forth between Boston and Toronto. And listening to what everything the Bruins have been saying in their dressing room, on their podium. We're talking about how maybe the Bruins' psyche might be, you know, the failures of the last five opportunities to advance may be playing into their psyche now. Maybe we saw a little bit with Marchand. Maybe we saw less of it with Jeremy Swayman with his comments after the game. But I'm wondering for you, start to finish here, prior to game one up until now, has the messaging, has the conversation changed at all for you with the Bruins and how they've approached this series?
Well, I think the messaging's interesting in that they keep referencing it, and most teams would say that was last year. And I've heard answers from Marchand talking about different people, and they've got eight different guys in their lineup this year from last year. But Jim Montgomery's referenced it and said they even talked about it yesterday. I think that's unusual, and it strikes me that this is following a very familiar pattern. And it also is interesting to me, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but let's throw this scenario out, that last year he was criticized for the way he handled his goaltenders, which I didn't think was as bad as people make it out to be, because, they went to overtime in game five, and then game six they hung in with Ullmark, and then Swayman had to come in game seven. Let's say the Leafs score five tonight. Let's just play that hypothetical. Now, who does he go in goal with for game seven? That will be interesting. Is it Swayman now all the way, or does he put Ullmark in like he put Swayman in basically last year for a game seven? It'll get more interesting, and there's at least a couple of demons in that Boston dressing room, there's probably a lot more ghosts in the Leafs room.
I wonder if Marchand, getting him off his game, was something that helped the Maple Leafs in that last one. I mean, game 1-4, he averaged 2 points a game and no penalties. And then game 5, it was a different Marchand. He saw the frustrated, saw him almost going after the refs when he got tackled. He didn't get any points as well. And, you know, his post-game comments, it seems to be a guy that is shifting a bit. Is that the mentality for the Leafs? If you're Pontus Holmberg, just go after Brad Marchand tonight and try to get him off his game, or do you just got to focus on your task at hand and not let Brad Marchand play into any of it?
Well, if they can keep him off the score sheet, I mean, he's they've won 3 games here, and he's he's got 7 points in the wins and multi-point games here. So, yeah, keep him off the score sheet any way possible. But he is so good at drawing penalties the other way. So you got to be careful with that. And I know Boston fans thought, in that exchange, people were saying, how did Marchand end up in the penalty box along with Holmberg? And when it could have been with Holmberg and the linesman. But anyway, it's a fine line with him because he can be frustrated, and he is the straw that stirs the drink for Boston. But whatever way they can keep him quiet will be a key to winning the series.
So Sheldon Keefe's obviously involved in all the successes and failures, at the micro level, right? Power play, penalty kill, run of play, 5-on-5, whatever you want to call it. We referenced earlier the struggles for the Maple Leafs in their last 6 playoff games, 0-6. How can Sheldon Keefe help the Maple Leafs buck this trend tonight?
Well, aside from playing in Keswick, I'm not sure. We need to play in a Hamlet, Taylor.
So, oh, I'm all for that.
somehow, it's amazing how tight they are here. In the old days, teams would be in hotels, trying to simulate road games at home, and the Leafs, I don't think, have done that. And it might be a little early for that, but it's a puzzle. It's why they can't. They lost the last 4 home games of the playoffs last year. This would be I think they've lost 4 straight at home this year. If you go back to the final 2 of the regular season, it's inexplicable. And somehow they got to find an answer. I will say that it looked like the ice wasn't very good in Boston the other night. Maybe that helped slow the game down and help the Leafs defensively. But, you looked at it going into the series and you'd think the Leafs would want the best conditions and maybe their skill level was higher. It would benefit from better ice. So, I've got no answers to why they can't win at home, but they're going to have an answer tonight.
What have you made of the Scotiabank Arena crowd? Justin and I only got the one opportunity to hear it up close and personal. And, of course, you're in the building at all venues. How has it changed or developed throughout this series?
Well, I think it was a lot louder on Saturday, and then they didn't have any reason to cheer after a while because it was their worst performance. So if you're drawing a direct line from fan involvement to performance, it certainly wasn't there on Saturday night. I don't editorialize on fans who are paying, the money they have to pay here to come into the building. My only comment I will say, and I'll get into trouble for it, was on the last shift of the regular season here against Detroit, when Austin Matthews had scored that night and had 69 on the year, I expected the fans to get on their feet and to, give him an ovation to salute what was a phenomenal regular season, and that didn't happen. So, proactive noise is great, but again, it was there on Saturday, and it didn't lead to anything. So this is a crowd, and I shouldn't criticize, because when I go to a game, I'm like that too. You're studying the game, you're watching it, you do get excited, but at the same time, there's a lot of fans like to, really analyze the game they're watching as well. So, for that money, they can do what they choose.
Yeah, I think you make a good point there on the, at least the acknowledgement of Matthews, but I think this is a sport-wide problem, or a hockey-wide problem, I guess I'm trying to say, because Yeah, of course. Major accomplishments should be acknowledged. We don't have like curtain calls like they have in baseball, but I feel like hockey could probably use a few more of those moments, whether it's team generated, arena generated, or just the fans making it happen. But that might be a little bit much to ask to originate that at Scotiabank Arena. But we shall see. Maybe it'll happen tonight. We appreciate you taking the time. 2 hours before the game, I guess, you got time.
He's
2 hours
before
the game.
He's got lots to do, Justin.
But
go.
Yeah, a big one tonight, Game 6. You'll be on the call with Simmer, and it should be really exciting either way. Thanks for jumping on with us, CeCe.
As you know, anytime. Thanks.
Bye,
That's
Dad.
Chris Cuthbert. Not saying that.
Chris Cuthbert, NHL and Sports and Hockey Night Canada.
I am with
8 p.m.
him.
Puck drop tonight, just so everyone
8
knows.
8 p.m. I'm with him on that, maybe because I'm his kin. But I was at a bar for Game 5.
Yeah, that doesn't happen often.
And that doesn't happen often. But I am like just being somewhere else where there's distractions. Mm. Like I need to be kind of by myself on a couch watching a game to make sure that I feel like I've absorbed it. And I'm not saying that's what's going on at Scotiabank Arena. Those people should be in the bar-like scenario where they're enjoying the atmosphere and not taking in every single bit of minutia in the game. But I do feel like, you know, that probably plays into some people's line of thought when they're at the game. They're just focused on what's happening.
Well, there'll be a lot to be focused on tonight. We've got another hour and a half to help tee it up. We'll talk to Sid Sixero in about 10 minutes. We're going to chat with the Fan Morning Show guys, Ben Ennis and Brent Gunning, at 7 o'clock from Scotiabank Arena. And then we'll get you set for an 8 o'clock puck drop on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Justin and I will have the pregame and intermissions there and Leafs talks always after the show. Okay, so let's do some best bets.
Sure.
I have predicted the Leafs to win in 7, so for that, they need to win tonight. And they're dogs tonight, which is interesting. Is it? Not really. But when you look at the situation at hand with the 0-5 in their past 5 opportunities to advance in the playoffs, for the Bruins and the Leafs being 0-6 in their last 6 home games, it should be pretty close to a toss-up, as you can see. Leafs to win plus 110. But Leafs to win the series, and I was just mentioning this off the top, if you think the Leafs are going to win tonight, bring some momentum into what would be Saturday night, you can bet them plus 330 to just straight up win the series. I like that one as a positive thinker and someone that wants to have my prediction come true, which is Leafs in 7 at TD Garden, slay the dragon.
Doubling down?
Yeah.
Tripling down to
Live
win the
little.
Series? Why not? If you believe in the Toronto Maple Leafs, why not profit off it? Or at least try. I've got a game that's coming up in about 8 minutes right now. Pacers and Bucks. Damian Lillard will play. Giannis still not expected to. The line dropped a little bit when Dame was added to the rotation there for Doc Rivers. But I think there's got to be a lot of urgency here for the Indiana Pacers. Playing at home, the specter of Giannis potentially returning, they probably know they got to get it done or they're not advancing to the second round to likely play the New York Knicks, who are also playing tonight against the Philadelphia 76ers. So I sense some urgency from Indiana, Pascal Siakam, and the Pacers covered the number tonight. And again, that starts in about 7 minutes. If I was to bet anything on the Leafs, team total under 2.5.
Whoa.
I mean, it's a real slog. It's a real slog for this team offensively. That's not to say they won't win the game. The line is set at 5.5. 2-1 could get it done.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like goal scoring is going to, especially tonight, it is going to be at an unbelievable premium. It feels like it's going to be very, very hard to score tonight on both sides, especially with Austin Matthews not involved. So maybe we'll play both of them team total unders. I feel like one of the I just don't expect a barn burner tonight by any stretch of the imagination. So maybe the plays then is just the under. But I guess if you're a little bit more negative, like I tend to be between the two of us. A
couple empty netters there at the end might ruin that, though.
Well,
one team desperately firing pucks. And one team with an empty net.
Yeah, that's possible.
It could happen. We'll take a quick break. Sid Sixero is going to join us on the other side, host of Breakfast Television, of course. We're going to go through some focused content on tonight's game, but also some big picture stuff because, you know, Sid, he's got a lot of opinions, a lot of takes, and this could be teeing up an epic comeback for the Maple Leafs. It could be teeing up what would be an offseason full of question marks and maybe some big changes. So Sid will help us wrap up this hour of the show. Then we'll shift to Sportsnet 590. The Fan will have another hour pregame show where we'll talk to Ben Ennis and Brent Gunning from Scotiabank Arena. We'll give you the lines. We'll get you set for tonight's game, which is an 8 p.m. puck drop on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan. But we'll take a quick break, and Sid will join us.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the Fan Pregame, Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Leafs, Bruins Game 6. That's an 8 p.m. puck drop tonight across Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, we got about an hour and a half left to tee it up, and who better to get us fired up than Sid Sixero, host of Breakfast Television. Sid, how are you feeling tonight? What's the vibe check with Sid?
I'm disappointed I couldn't provide another cutbook to the show is what I'm feeling.
We could probably
so
find
I apologize
one.
to the audience. I'm sorry. I just you got me.
Yeah,
I'll try and be better.
It's a tough act to follow, eh?
How you guys doing?
We're
good.
Game
feel tonight.
I'm really excited. I feel good. I feel good about those Maple Leafs tonight. I don't know why, just because I'm a dummy,
why do you feel good, Ailish?
Yeah, let's unpack this.
Because
trends
need to end, and I think the Maple Leafs are going to win at home, and then don't ask me about Game 7, but I did pick the Leafs in 7. I think I'm a dreamer. I think I want to see them beat the Dragons, slay the Dragons at TD Garden in Game 7, and then let that just catapult them to whatever happens next. I'm the dreamer of the show, I think.
Mm.
You don't believe it?
Nothing wrong with that. No, nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. I'm all for positivity because you're not going to get it from me.
Okay, so don't give me the other side of it then.
Well, okay, here's the other side. Here's the other side. You scored one goal in 60 minutes the other night. And that was one of your best games of the series.
Not ideal.
Right? Not ideal. So, you know, you still didn't get a goal from Tavares. You still didn't get a goal from Marner. I have no idea what's up with Willie. None. Thankfully, Nyes was right place, right time, and Joseph Woll is looking good, and we can really land on him in a bit because I find the conversation around Woll fascinating, considering he's played 42 career games at this level. 42. But I think, you know, you had to give yourself the chance to do this, and they did. And they had one really good period, so I heard. I didn't watch the game the other night. You know, I think that crowd tonight is going to be quite something to watch and hear. Because I understand anyone who goes into that building tonight with their arms crossed with the terrible body language. Mm. I do understand that. Anyone in the city who wants to tisk-tisk and shake a finger at a fan paying $900 a pop tonight for upper decks, they can go ahead. I'm not doing that. You're driving down. You're listening to this stuck on the Gardner for the 50th straight minute. If you're heading down there, do whatever you want. Because I've been really trying to figure out, like the rest of us, why the struggles on home ice to this extent. Like, what are we really looking at here? Because I heard a loud crowd in Game 3. I heard a louder crowd in Game 4. At times, and it's just not translating. And all I can think of is, first off, for the crowd perspective, let's remember that whether it's the playoffs or basically the last 3 months of every regular season, they have nothing to cheer for. They are entrenched at the end of every regular season for the past three seasons. They're not moving. There's no playoff chase. There's no President's Trophy hunt. There's nothing. Thank God for Austin's chase this year. Mm. That's all you had. And then when you get to the playoffs, you want that flipped. Like you want that to be Vegas at T-Mobile? Just like that? That's not how that works. Mm-hmm. You can't have a crowd sitting there hibernating for 3 months when you're entrenched in third place in the Atlantic. And then all of a sudden expect like the Red Wings at Joe Louis Arena. When we were growing up, that's not how that works. That plays a part in this. The second thing add to this is now when you're the players themselves, when you hear silence in that building, you hear legacy. Because everyone knows that window is closing from Shanahan on down. So they're wound so tight, considering the context around this team, that it's showing through onto the ice surface. Now, do I think Stanley Cup hungry pros in the prime of their careers, Tavares aside, should be affected by this? Hell no. But that's what's happened. Add to that a lack of depth around the board, and that's what I can come up with. I can't come up with a better theory than that, because those fans want it worse than anyone in professional sports. So I don't understand the skittishness of the team in front of that crowd for so long in so many consecutive important games. I have a hard time believing, Eilish, I'm not positive about it, but I have a hard time wrapping my head around another home loss tonight. Mm-hmm. Like that's the angle. Mm-hmm. Justin, I don't know if you're with me or not, but like, I can't fathom what tomorrow looks like if you did it again in front of them. Not lose the series, it is what it is. But that way, that's going to be one of the great Friday sports unpackings I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Since I worked at Sportsnet and the Raptors won on a Thursday night the NBA championship. You will not have seen anything like that on Toronto sports media since then. Tomorrow will be quite something. Well, I just think it's so unfathomable to me. I can't. I don't think it's going to happen, Justin.
I think that's what kind of contributes to the conflicting emotion of Game 5, right? Because you know this might be there where it's the laid egg again on home ice, right? And it's nice to gut out a win in Boston. It's nice to make them feel something, Brad Marchand, make him feel something. But if it's just a repeat of Game 4, it's worse. And that's what I'm trying to unpack here, is like, when things can get better, what certain things can allow the situation to improve, and what situations will allow the situation to get even worse than it is. And I feel like a Game 6 loss that is as bad would make things compound the factor, make it even worse. But if they get through this and it's a Game 7... maybe if it's the next round, can things improve? And I don't even know the answer to that question, but you're right about what tomorrow would bring if Game 6 mm-hmm. looks like Game 4.
Like I was listening to Bunkus and Jackie Redmond earlier today, and I think the point is valid. Like, this isn't about winning a cup anymore mm-hmm. with the fan base. It's how long can it go? And that is such a warped way of looking at what the plan should have been. And it's just a very odd place to be. You know, I think, you know, will Leaf fans be excited going into Boston Saturday night? It really depends how tonight goes. Like, I brought up today on air on breakfast television, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. City TV weekdays. Like, why not 5-1 tonight, Leafs? Like, I said that out loud. I heard some snickers behind the cameras. But why is that such a incredible thought? Like, why does that seem like such an unattainable goal? And it's an unattainable goal because there's no depth and they can't score. Mm-hmm. At least they haven't so far. But I'll say this, here's the one thing I really kind of noticed the other night, and Sheldon Keefe spoke on it before he got to the podium, because before Sheldon Keefe got to the post game podium in Boston the other night, it was Nyes and it was Wall together. And I looked at that, and I thought to myself, the only thing that changes the scenario for the Leafs is if a handful of guys outside of the core say, we got it. Hmm. We'll take care of this now. Because Tavares ain't up for it. He's not going to be a captain next year. Marner's not up for it. No idea what's going on with Willie. And the fact that they ruled out Austin Matthews at 11:44 a.m. this morning, I looked at my clock when I saw the Luke Fox notification come across my phone. I swear to God, I marked the time because I was expecting another, oh, he may or may not mm-hmm. play. No. 11:40 at brunch, they told us, Austin Matthews isn't playing tonight. So it's not going to be them. It's never them. And I was watching Nyes and Wall the other night going, what if other guys say to hell with it and we'll do it? Maybe that's a possibility. Nyes looked great in that postseason last year when he walked into the league. Wall seems to love this time of year. Love it. I mean, that's the only thing I saw the other night. And Keith mentioned it too. I'll give him credit. Where I said, it could change if Domi starts to be more of a guy. If they start to look at the team differently. Like, are you telling me a power play unit right now with Domi and Nyes mixing some other pieces? Like, could it do any worse?
It could not.
I don't think it statistically can get worse. So why not?
It can't. I think the power play argument at game six of a playoff series, I think this is completely now irrelevant because you're not getting any calls anymore. What, the Leafs got three the other night? Mm-hmm. Boston got one? The days of Leafs getting five or six, over. Mm-hmm. Over. I think the power play is such an irrelevant conversation right now, it's not worth bringing up. Now you are on 5-on-5 island. It's like Robita Island, but different. There's no bailouts coming here for either team. That's how the playoffs work. So if other guys step up, like some of these young bucks they got, mm-hmm. maybe this is a different conversation. We'll see how it plays out tonight because the old guard ain't doing it. And the scary thing is the old guard ain't that old. And I'm kind of rooting. I like Wall a lot. Mm-hmm. I like Nyes a lot. Like just that was a big, big game the other night. They were great. We'll see how it goes tonight. If it changes, then we got something. Then the Leafs got something. You never know.
Yeah, if that is the outcome, then the eventual destination this summer doesn't change, right? Because you have to make changes because it wasn't the top-end guys that got you there. The top-end guys were the problem, and other guys were able to step up and get you as far as they're going to go. But again, I guess there still is room for the top. And I do want to circle back, though, on Matthews because – it is definitely a fascinating situation that's developed here. You sound frustrated. What's that frustration rooted in? Is it in Austin Matthews? Is it in the team, coaching staff, the timing, how they let him skate in front of cameras? Like, why not let him hang out at Ford Performance Center if he's going to show that he can do something and then immediately you pull the rug out from underneath him or the rug is removed in whatever manner it is? What's sort of your take on how they've handled Austin Matthews here just on the heels of maybe mishandling William Nylander?
Messaging. That's my frustration. Same with Willie. Like, Elliot's given us the only thing we know on Willie. No one said anything from that organization. Nobody. As far as Matthews is concerned, he's obviously hurt when a 69-goal scorer misses your two biggest games of the season. Like, I'm going to take a guess. It's not a stomach bug. And I'm tired of this organization and most in hockey talking to us like this is our first day. And the Leafs need to really reexamine how they handle everything because I don't think it's a coincidence they've gone this long without a cup. There's a way that organization is run from comms to acquiring players to how flippant they've been with draft picks and prospects to the whole thing that has led to moments like this. But that's a three-hour topic for another day.
Did you see who just came in? Did you miss that?
I saw a shadowy figure. I have to be honest. I thought it was me.
I was laughing because I thought you could see you had a visitor.
Yeah.
Oh, who's that?
Timmy McAuliffe came to say hi.
Timmy came in and popped his head on the screen. And he.
This studio's getting familiar. Again,
yeah, it's he left, though. So he says hello.
I think that was hello. It may not have been a hello, but it was something.
It was funny, though. Sorry, you continue.
I thought he'd go to the game tonight.
No, he's here. Down there.
Quick pit stop.
Quick pit stop to say hello. Sorry, I cut you off.
Timmy, love you. Hope you're well, man. Matthews. Yeah, the Matthews injury. Yes. Did you see the clip that started running this afternoon? I hadn't seen this. This is from behind the net game three. You guys saw it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. McAvoy.
Boy, did his right knee take a pounding on that pull down. Very Matthew Nyes-ish from the year before, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. And combine that with that kind of the tweak at the end of the second period of game four. Yeah, clearly something's up. But that clip I saw today, I hadn't seen yet. Mm-hmm. Do you not find it weird? You're not seeing a lot of theories being floated about where this may have happened.
Oh, I'm seeing lots of conspiracy theories.
Okay, I missed.
You're on the wrong part of Twitter. I'll send you some. And then your algorithm will be better.
I got to go to the For You more, I guess.
Go to For You. Stop muting people, Sid, because there's some good people out there that have good conspiracies.
Yes, exactly.
Some real high-quality Twitter doctors.
You name the time and the place of the conspiracy theory, I'll be there. Okay. I love me a good conspiracy. But he's clearly hurt. My only frustration with the Leafs is the messaging. They think we're all idiots, and congratulations to him. One playoff series win in 10 years or whatever it's been. Great, fine. We're the idiots. That's my frustration. Matthews is clearly not right. And quite frankly, without him this year, they are second last in that division, and he needs some time. So the three other $11 million guys, time to wake up. Mm-hmm. Time to wake up. Can't be the kid making no money who's played 42 games in his career at this level in net saving your ass every night. Now, that might have to happen for you to get past the series. And Morgan Rielly, he can wind it up too at any point here if he wants. But my only frustration is with the messaging and the communications on this and the comms. He needs time. Let him take it. I was just really surprised at the early call tonight because Keith didn't even mention illness or stomach bug tonight. They're not even – that got run out of town. They're not even talking about that anymore. They know how ridiculous that now sounds in hindsight. You have Elliot on the desk the other night with the guys basically saying, yeah, it's not that, guys. I mean, like when you have – like Elliot's popping balloons left and right on their comms, and I love it. I'm here for it. He's one of the best in the business. Hopefully he's okay. Hopefully this isn't something that would linger into October of next year. I feel like it's nuts to even say, but for him to miss this time is not a joke. Mm-hmm. So I just hope he's okay. I hope he's all right long term.
Yeah. We're talking to Sid Sixero, host of Breakfast Television on City TV. Where are you at with Sheldon Keefe? What adjustments, let's just like think about tonight. What adjustments can he make to better coach his team on home ice? And what are you thinking big picture with Sheldon Keefe, regardless of how the series ends? Is this is he coaching for his job tenure as well?
I mean, the first thing. The Jake McCabe goal the other night was fluky. But the whole go to the net thing, it can kind of work sometimes. And even when it doesn't work, it worked for Tavares. Like that was a messed up deflection, but it worked. And Knies, go to the net. It worked. If you don't go to the net tonight, I bench you is my message. We're going to the net, guys. You see that thing with the kid who we passed up on a draft pick for Ian Scott? You see that guy? We're going to him. Because if we rattle his cage, literally, Jim Montgomery's not going to know what to do in net for game 7. He's got no idea. He's going to be sucking and blowing at the same time. So if anyone doesn't go to the net, they get benched. Because then if we lose this game, I'm getting benched, is the next thing. Mm. There are way too many head coaches that, like, I've noticed Toronto radio has been a hub for coaches this week. It has been quite something to listen to. Mm-hmm. Jay Woodcroft, I've seen them all. Mm-hmm. They're all like, let me get my opinion on Toronto sports radio right now. I'd like to be present.
That's why everybody's saying yes to this station lately. Eh?
If Rod Brendewer wasn't coaching right now, he might be on too.
It is wonderland for fan producers. Wonderland. Every coach who's won 3 games in the last 4 years in this league want to get on Toronto sports radio because Keefe is hanging on by the thinnest of threads. And his extension's about to kick in. Mm-hmm. And they probably will make a move. With that said, I'm not convinced anything happens. I don't even want to start this conversation because we don't have the time. But anyone who assumes organizational Armageddon is going to happen with the Leafs if they lose this game tonight, you need to check yourself. You need to check yourself. There are some people inside MLSE who are frustrated by this but aren't willing to blow it up. Comfort in the corporate world does matter to people. There's not a ton of risk takers out there. I'm stunned Kawhi happened. In a corporate world, I'm stunned the Kawhi trade happened. That was a big risk. Paid off. But you don't see that happening a lot in other aspects of both the Jays and the Leafs. You really don't. So don't assume that is what I would say. But I understand people who think Keefe's gone. Yeah, he not only wasn't gone last year, he got an extension. After 90 straight hours of deliberations with Bradshaw Living in one of the strangest job interviews I've ever heard of. And he gave him an extension after. Don't assume we know anything that's going on inside MLSE. They are in a bubble. They don't listen to this. They don't listen to fans. They're doing their own thing. And there are revenue streams coming in there we don't see that people really like. Don't assume any boat's going to get rattled. Could happen. Don't assume.
You think the result of this series matters whatsoever when we're talking about the big change that you don't think will happen?
It's down to Pelly. It's down to Keith Pelly, the new CEO. If Shanahan stays, nothing's changing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely no.
The only domino is Brandon Shanahan.
That's it. There was nothing historically. The one guy who wanted to change something maybe last year was Dubas, and he was fired like 2 days later.
It came for the throne.
2 days later.
Yeah.
Like, don't, if better not miss if you're going to shoot. Like, that was the closest that organization's come to actual real change, and he was gone 2 days later. Now, there were other things at play, obviously, as we all know. But I don't, if Shanahan's there, nothing's changing. And yeah. I know it's crazy to hear, considering the context of it. Mm-hmm. Get ready. Get ready. That Jay's offense didn't change.
Oof.
That Jay's offense didn't change. I would have bet you my mortgage it would have changed.
Yeah.
Didn't change. Toronto sports, safe as king.
One thing that safe also hasn't changed is that Boston has an upper hand on Toronto in all things, right? In all things, at least sports. But there's this thing that I'm having trouble grasping, which is that Boston has their own personal things that they're dealing with, their own ghosts that they may be dealing with. As someone who's watched Boston sports and watched Toronto sports over the last 10, 15, 20 years, can you wrap your head around the fact that Boston might have similar demons to that of the Maple Leafs?
There are demons. I don't know if they're similar demons. I'll slightly disagree with you there. But I do love the conversation of who's more nervous tonight, for sure. I love that take. And if Jim Montgomery drops another 3-1 lead in consecutive years, he's gone. They fired Cassidy. Mm-hmm. Cassidy won a lot of games for that team and continued to win games at the next stop. Mm-hmm. Like, Boston's not afraid to show you the door like Jazz on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. They'll do it quick. It's a different organization. They have standards there. They're not going to let a guy sit there and claim victory in mediocrity. So there's a part of me that still thinks the Leafs are more nervous just because they're the Leafs. But the Bruins are not far behind. And I think they're a little stunned at how that played out the other night. Like, they were not ready for a Leaf team to start game five, considering how they started game four. That was clear. That was clear. I still think the Leafs will be, if it's Jake DeBrusk 4 minutes in, 1-0 Bruins tonight, you're gonna hear a mouse pass wind in that building. Tell you that right now.
Yeah, that opening
it's gonna be quite interesting.
Opening 20 minutes might be the most important 20 minutes of the Leafs season tonight. Sid, we gotta let you go. We're up against the clock, but this was really fun, and you got to see your old friend, maybe kind of shortly through the screen.
At least the shadowy
quick reunion.
We had everybody in here. Thanks so much for jumping on, and we will have to get you on when we're done talking about the Leafs, because the Jays haven't been ripped enough, and I think you might be the man for the job for that. Okay,
call anytime on the Jays.
Okay, we will. Thanks, Sid. Enjoy tonight's game.
Thanks, Sid.
Sid Sixero, host of Breakfast Television on City TV. Okay, quickly, we got about a minute and a half here to tee up what's going to happen on the network. You're going to see Leafs and Bruins up next on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We're going to stick on there for the next hour. You can catch us there. We're going to have the guys from the morning show join us, and then we're going to spend our hour doing our own Leafs pregame show. On this day in 1967, the Leafs last won a Stanley Cup. So I don't know how that makes you feel.
It's getting harder and harder to do the math now.
That's a while ago, but today, May 2nd, was a special day for Leafs, so maybe it will be another special day for the Leafs. I don't know. Just thought I would throw that piece of information out to the listeners.
It's good to know.
Quickly, we're tied up 6 points each in our little bracket challenge. We both have gotten a couple right, but you got Oilers in five.
Oilers in five last night. Bank me 3 points. You got the Hurricanes in five. We're both kind of, you know,
we're
treading water right now, but no clear advantage yet in our picks challenge for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, this is the big one. I've got the Leafs in seven, and you've got the Bruins in seven. So if the Leafs win, we're both...
We need a Leafs win tonight.
We do.
We're both wrong.
For ours. So we'll see if that happens. We'll continue teeing it up. You feeling good about it? Did Sid help sway you either way?
I feel like we have so much more to unpack still with Sid.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back up on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and you can keep watching for Leafs Bruins on Sportsnet.